God's good, ain't he? Amen. He's always good. Amen. We're going to do something a little different over the next couple of weeks. I usually, if we do any kind of sermon series, we do it on Wednesday nights. But we're going to have a Sunday sermon series, and we're starting today. And it'll carry through probably the whole month of February. But what we're going to talk about is parallels in the Bible, types and shadows. So what we're going to do is venture back into the Old Testament, that book that some of y'all don't ever venture to because you're all about grace. And we're gonna look and see, because there was grace in the Old Testament too. Just want to let you know. It's not God in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New. That's not how any of that works. It's not that there was this hateful God that wanted to kill all the mosquito bites, as Jason said this morning, and the termites and Hivites and all those ites. But, and that Jesus, I heard a statement one time that a man made. He said, I don't believe in God. And the guy asked him, he said, well, what do you think about Jesus? He said, I think Jesus was awesome. You can't say that. You just can't say any of that. But he thought Jesus was a cool dude, went around doing good, and that God was a warmonger that wanted to kill everybody. So that was his struggle. But anyway, we're going to venture into the Old Testament. We're going to talk about some people. We're going to talk about some concepts that point to things in the New Testament, because I'm convinced it's really difficult to understand the book of Hebrews if you don't understand the tabernacle. It's really hard to understand grace if you don't understand law. It's hard to understand freedom if you don't know what it is to be bound. So we're going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to begin with one of my favorite guys. I've been studying him a little bit here lately, but I'm going to start with Daniel. I'll read you Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. Daniel 1 and 3. And the king spake unto Hardword Guy, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. You can go ahead and be seated. I didn't realize how much Daniel paralleled Jesus. I knew Joseph did. I understood the story of Joseph and how he was a type and a shadow of Jesus. But I never realized how much Daniel was a type of Jesus until I really got into his story. The shadow is this. Daniel was a son of Judah. And that beginning, because we know that Jesus was also the line of the tribe of Judah or Jehudah. And the... Man, Jason, I'm all over you right now. Sorry, buddy. he was a son of Judah, and Daniel had superior wisdom in his day. As a matter of fact, if we read on through, let's go to verse 4. He calls for these, and he said, children in whom was no blemish. Well, that's interesting, ain't it? That's a funny word for a guy named, looking for people with no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. So he says, we need somebody that's wise. First of all, he's of the tribe of Judah. He's the son of Judah. And not only that, but he's got to have wisdom. We know that Jesus, as we mentioned, here's the substance to the shadow. Jesus was also excellent in spirit, and his spirit set him apart from his peers. There wasn't many people back then, Kevin, at 12 years old, that was sitting in the temple teaching things that confounded the scribes. And they're like trying to figure out where this kid got all of his wisdom. Well, now that we know that he was the Ancient of Days, and we know that his going forth have been from old to everlasting, we know that he wasn't just a normal, ordinary kid. We know where he got his wisdom from. He was excellent in his wisdom. Amen. Acts 10:38. Do I have that one on there, Shane? I don't know if I have that or not. but Jesus was set apart. This bothered the people of Daniel's day because of his wisdom. And the Bible talking about Jesus says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's no doubt that God was with Daniel, and there's no doubt that God was in Jesus. So you see the shadow, just being a son of Judah, being an excellent spirit. You say, well, that's kind of weak. Well, let's just keep going. Let's just keep walking forward. Daniel is presented as a chief ruler in Babylon. His peers were upset about this. One, he wasn't a Babylonian. And so that kind of presented a problem that he's put over the people. We know that Jesus was the king of the Jews, and his claim to the throne seemed to anger the people of his day. Can you say amen? The reason they sought to kill him was because he would say things like, I and my father are one, and I can't move unless my father moves. And when he began to claim deity, they began to get upset. And let me tell you something about people. When you claim to be a believer, they start looking at you differently. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you claim to be a believer, I have on every job that I've ever been on, I don't tell anybody I'm a preacher. Why not? Because I like to go undercover. So if I go crazy on them, they don't blame the church. No, I'm kidding. I don't tell them that because I've been around people that do. And it comes off as, I can't explain it, but have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, hey, God bless you, I'm a prophet? You're like, cool. Hey, I'm an apostle. For real? You ever had somebody come up? And it's just one of those things that I get leery of right off the bat. And I'm like, I'm a person. Loves Jesus, man. Person that loves Jesus. But it's funny because on this particular job, this guy out of the blue just started calling me preacher. Hey, preacher, do this. Hey, preacher, come here. Hey, preacher. And then he got on the CB. Hey, preacher. Hey, it's all over the mountain now. Everybody, I'm preacher now. So I'm going across the mountain. This guy goes, hey, preacher, you worked a late one, didn't you? I said, yes, sir. And then I was getting ready to leave yesterday. Had a rough night the night before, swinging a sledgehammer most of the night. And the next morning, the day shift comes in. The guy looks at me. He's wild. He looks at me and says, hey, preacher, what are you preaching about tomorrow? I said, probably patience. Probably a lot of patience because that's what I need. But it's funny, though, when people find out, they change their view of you. Let me just throw this in here real quick. Don't worry about what this world thinks about you. Man, I will never forget what Bishop Sims said years ago. He said, don't say you're a preacher. Be a preacher. And there's a difference between just saying it and being it. Jesus said some stuff, but the reason he said this stuff is because that's who he was. And when he made these claims, it was because he was exactly who he said he was. We learn he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let me throw this in there again. Not co-equal, equal. He was equal with God. So we see that his position put him in a very peculiar spot. Still okay. Is that a type and a shadow? Let's go a little farther. Daniel is a willing sacrifice. They sign a decree. They don't like Daniel, so they make some unjust laws. And they say, you know what we're going to do, O king? If anybody prays to anybody else or asks anybody else for anything besides you, there's going to be some consequences. And Daniel understood the decree, but he didn't back down not one bit. As a matter of fact, he still left his windows open, and he still pointed himself toward Jerusalem, and he still prayed 3 times a day, knowing that there would be consequences to that, knowing that there would be consequences, he did it anyway. Now, if anybody needs to be a willing sacrifice, it's the one that laid down his life for you, because the only way they could have killed Jesus is if he was willing. Oh, man, that was good. Good, good right there. The only way they could have took life from Jesus is if he gave it up. If he was a willing sacrifice. Jesus understood full well when he was headed to Jerusalem what he was going for. But he went as a willing sacrifice. Why did he do that, Perry? Because he loved you. It's not complicated, Thomas. The reason God done that is because he loved you. The reason God gave you the gift is because he loved you. If you ever been healed, anybody ever been healed? If you were healed, it was because he loves you. If you've been delivered, it's because he loves you. If you've ever been picked up out of the miry clay and got your foot on the rock, I want to tell you, it's because he loves you. Well, I believe Jesus was healing people to prove to those people who he was. Jesus never had to prove anything to anybody. The reason Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood is because he loved her. The reason he raised up Jairus' daughter is because he loved her. The reason he picks you up is because he loves you. It's a willing sacrifice. He was a willing, knowing full well the consequences, he stayed on his course. I forgot to warn you. I want to warn you of this. This whole sermon is a setup for a one sentence ending. So hold on till the very end. And you got to pay attention to all these points. When I get to the end, you'll be like, that's not that cool. It's really cool. But you got to pay attention to all the points. You may be able to miss some and still get it, but I want you to pay attention because I want you to see this type. I want you to see how Daniel, his life is pointing to something greater than Daniel. He's a willing sacrifice. Daniel's sentenced to death under a very unjust Gentile law. Because Daniel was praying, he was sentenced to death. We know, too, that Jesus was sentenced to death in a very unjust manner. They had his trial at night, which was technically illegal in that day. Not only did they do that, they brought in false witnesses. They brought in some liars. They found them some people that would lie, and they brought them in to bring false accusation against Jesus, so that they could convict him under a very unjust system. I've said this before, it's worth repeating. God's not fair. Sometimes when you look at your life, you say, it isn't fair. It isn't, it just isn't fair. This is, God's not fair. You better be glad that God's not fair. Because let me tell you what's not fair. The just for the unjust, that's not fair. It's not fair that Jesus never sinned, but he still had to die for your sin. That's not fair. It's not fair that he had to bear the sin of the whole world. That's not fair. But God is just. And because God is just, I'm glad to know because Jesus did bury, he carried my sin, I will no longer have to carry my sin. God's just. Jason, I was going to say this in Sunday school this morning, but man, you was rolling right along. Did y'all catch what he started out talking about? He said, man, if you go into these land, he said, it's very dangerous to give them all of them vineyards and the houses that they did not build, because what happens is people get lazy. God just gives and gives. See, I'm the opposite. I don't know if anybody's like me, but sometimes if I'm working and a guy's not getting, I'm like, here, just give it here. Let me do it myself. Anybody? Anybody? And it's worse as I get older, Nolan. When I was younger, I'd stand back a little bit. Now it's just like, man, I just give it here. I ain't got time for you. Your tomfoolery. I was leaving work the other night, and the superintendent stopped me and said, how'd it go? I said, I beat my guts out all night long. He said, well, I blame that on you. I said, why you blame it on me? He said, you got two young boys out there. I said, they can't hit nothing. I said, they can't sweat. This is a 20-pound sledgehammer, and it's flying across the pit because he can't hold on to it. So I'm just like, give it here. Give it here. I hope he never gets Dropbox and hears this. I was like, just give me the hammer. I do that sometimes in my Christian walk. God's gave me what I need. Let me tell you about him. He can swing it. He can hit the mark. And sometimes prayer, I'm like, nah, God, I'm good. I got this. I can do this by myself. He's like, no, you really do need to get. I've gave you vineyards that you didn't plant. I gave this to you. Let me tell you where we need to get, where we believe the promises of God to the point where we say, I don't have to do this by myself. He already done it for me. And Eddie, all I got to do is praise him for what he already done. Amen. He was sentenced to die in an unjust system. I want you to watch this. The king wanted to free Daniel. He liked him. He didn't want to throw him in there. The problem was he signed the decree and it was law. And because the people around him, he had to put him in there. We see this with Pilate. We understand that Pilate really didn't want to crucify Jesus. He wanted to let him go. So he said, hey, there's this guy. He's a hoodlum. That's not really in the Bible. But there's this guy, and his name's Barabbas, and I'm going to give him a choice because I know who they'll pick. They'll pick to release Jesus. He really didn't want to do it because he looked at him, and he said, I can't find any fault in this man. How well would you have done in that interview? If you were standing before Pilate, would he have found any fault in you? Everybody's like, nah, probably not. Plenty. Plenty here. Plenty. But in Jesus, he couldn't find any. But because of the people, he turned him over. Watch this. Daniel's prayer. They begin to watch him, and because he's praying, they knew where he was at, and they knew where to get him. Jesus is in the garden. What's he doing? He's praying. He's praying. And you know what happens during his prayer? They come to take him. In his prayer, they come to take him. Give me just a minute. And when they got there, the only way they knew which one was him was Judas had to kiss him. You know what that tells me about Jesus? He blended in with everybody else. When they came in, there wasn't nothing special to look at him and say, oh, he must be the one. He must be the one. The Bible says when we see him, there will be no comeliness that we should desire him. Oh, but you got to get beyond the outside and look on the inside. If you can get beyond the outside of the tabernacle, if you get beyond the goat skin and the ram skin, and you get on the inside, what you find is gold and purity and power. It was Peter, James, and John on the mountain of transfiguration where Jesus revealed to them the inside of the tabernacle. Let me tell you how awesome that was. He said, hey, we ought to build some churches here. We ought to camp out here, one for each of y'all. Man, it was a good experience. Daniel's prayer got him in trouble. Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. Let me just get a lick in here right here. Jesus goes into the garden to pray, and he comes back, and what are the disciples doing? Sleeping. And he looked at him and said, could you not tarry for 1 hour? Like, that's pretty easy. Could you not at least do it for 1 hour? It's amazing. How many people value sleep over relationship? Get them. Oh, you just don't understand. You need 14 hours of sleep. You're the only human on the planet that needs that to survive. Oh, if I don't get my sleep, I'm. You know what happens? We get addicted to it. Oh, preach on, preacher. Laziness is addicting. Yeah, boy. Go on vacation and watch how easy it is to come back. I had a job where I worked 7 days on and 7 days off. Everybody's like, man, that's like vacation every other week. I said, it's miserable talking yourself into going back every other week. I said, you only got to do it twice a year. every other week you've given yourself a pump up. Man, come on, baby, get it going. Here we go. Going back. Let me tell you something. If we get lazy in the natural, we're going to get lazy in the spiritual. Man, I'm preaching good right now. You know what the kingdom needs? Hard workers.
Somebody's not here today because they're sleeping. And they're missing all this awesome preaching while they're sleeping. And I'm preaching on them sleeping, and you're like, we're here, stop.
We got up and came. They're not hearing you. Listen, Sunday people, if you can't come on Wednesday, I understand, but I preach on you almost every Wednesday. I say, I understand that some of them have to work, and I understand this too. Some of them are lazy and just don't want to come. So I talk about you. So now here I am. You're here. So I'm going to let you have it while you're here. Get to church. Get to church. Get to the house of God. Well, I can be a Christian without the house. How can you love Jesus and not love his bride? How can you love Jesus and not love his body? How can you say, I love Jesus, but you don't want to be around that that's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? How can you say, I love him, but I don't want to be part of expanding his kingdom? I just want to sit at the house and love him. No, you need to get plugged in to the body. Yeah. Amen. Let me keep going. Daniel's thrown into the den of lions to be devoured by the beast. Psalms 22, verse 12. I'm going to take my time and read this to you because this is so cool. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. I'm surrounded. Who's this talking about? You'll figure it out. They gaped upon me with their mouths as... And what? And roaring... Lions. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Who is this talking here? Watch this real close. Next verse. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and they what? They stare upon me. This is a prophecy of the crucifixion. Next verse. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. We know this is fulfilled when the soldiers begin to cast lots for his robe. But, man, we're on shouting ground right here. But, be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Man, if you need to learn a verse, you need to learn that verse. You need to learn that verse. You need to get that verse in your heart. So when the devil's coming and the devil's around you and you're being tormented by the enemy, you can say, but be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Can I tell you this? If God be for you, who can be against you? If God's near you, it don't matter if all hell encompass around you. You got something greater beside you, in you, through you, than this world could ever bring against you. Aren't you glad that you know him? Next verse. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Next verse. Save me from the... Man, these parallels are starting to get a little too good to not see it. Deliver me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of... I want you to listen to me. Daniel was delivered from the lion's mouth without any bodily harm. Jesus on the other hand, had to be rent and torn. Why would he have to be rent and torn? If the parallel runs this way, why would he have to be rent and torn? 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The reason Jesus' body had to be torn is so that you could be delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Unlike Daniel, Daniel got delivered unscathed, but Jesus was beat and broken and bruised and battered so that that lion has no more power over you. I want you to listen. If you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear this. The devil has been lying to you. He has no dominion over you. You have been delivered from the power and the penalty of sin, and there ain't no devil in hell can overcome that Jesus that you got on the inside of you. Oh, glory. He went through what he went through so that I could be delivered. Oh, let's go. Daniel 6:17. Daniel 6:17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. This is just too close to pass up. A stone was laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. They done rolled a stone up there to make sure that Daniel didn't get out.
Here's my question. What was keeping the lions in to begin with?
Did they march him in there and leave the stone and then put Daniel in there and roll a stone? Something's going on here. That stone must have been extra protection. It's funny to me how the world views Christians, ones that really know and they're real Christians. It's funny that when Peter would be put in prison, they would put like 40 soldiers around him. That's a lot for a little Jewish fisherman. Why would you have all of these armed soldiers to watch this little guy that threw nets for a living? And to quote Jason again, I'm on you. I might as well keep riding it. If you watch The Chosen, Peter ain't that big. But you know what the problem was? It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Peter they was concerned about. What they were concerned about is what was in Peter. And they knew they was having a hard time handling what was in Peter. It wasn't about his outward appearance. That's what the world looks at. I'm here to tell you, there's a lion inside of you. There's something inside of you. I don't care if you're 5'2". If you got Jesus, it's going to be all right. And they got all these guarded soldiers around him. Little fisherman boy, I'm going to tell you, they put this stone there because they thought something might happen. They did the same thing with Jesus. This parallel is getting closer now. They put him in the tomb and they roll a stone at the edge of the tomb and they put a soldier on the outside to guard him and he's dead. Saying when you die, we're not going to put a guard at your tomb. When it's time for us to leave the graveyard, I'm just speculating that you're leaving before me. I mean, all these phone calls you get and all this stuff going on, I'm getting worried about you. Eddie looked at me one day, AJ, and he said, if the rapture takes place, will you preach my funeral? Ain't right, is it? I said, no, I'll be gone too. He went, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure you will. They put a stone and they put a guard there. But I'm going to tell you what happened. The next morning when the king came to the tomb, Daniel, O king, I'm good. I'm good. So I had to roll the stone away and let him out. That next morning, when she came to, oh, glory, the stone had already been rolled away. He's not here. He's not here. He's risen. Do you see this parallel? Why is all this going on? Do you think Daniel was living his life in a way that he knew all of this was going to take place? You think when Daniel went to the lion's den, Sherry, you think he was like, this is good because this is going to be like when Jesus is put in the tomb. That's why I'm going through this. You think he had inside information? Now let me tell you what Daniel was doing. He was just obeying God and worshiping him and doing what he knew to do. He was just hungry after God's word, hungry after his heart, and he prayed. He honored the God. He fasted. He said, I'm not going to eat any of the king's meats. I'm not going to defile myself with any of this. I may be in Babylon, but I'm not a Babylonian. You know, we need to get this attitude like Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You don't know what he was saying. I may have to live in Egypt, but I'm not an Egyptian. I may have to be, oh, glory. We need to let this world know I may have to live in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm an ambassador from another country, and I got a message that'll change your life forever. Hurry, hurry. Daniel's not just saved from death, but because he's alive, he's vindicated and he changes the law. Let me say it again. The law was changed. I said the law was changed because Daniel got out of the den. Let me tell you what happened when Jesus got up. When Jesus got up, everything changed. I know it ain't Easter, and I may even touch on this again, Easter, but I want to let you know something. The reason we're here on a Sunday morning is because he got up on the first day. We're not here to celebrate rest. We're here. This ain't the Sabbath. This is the first day. We're here to celebrate the fact that there wasn't no devil able to hold him in that tomb, and just as Daniel walked out, I want to let you know Jesus got up and walked out too, and it changed everything. It changed everything.
That's right.
Aaron, my faith hinges on the resurrection. My song hinges on the resurrection. Everything I do hinges on the resurrection. Because if the dead be not raised, you are yet in your sin and your faith is in vain. But I'm here to tell you, because Daniel got up, Jesus got up, because the stone couldn't hold him, I want to let you know, because he got up, my song is not in vain, and I can sing with a surety. I go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. I'll never be the same. Why? Because he's alive. Oh, hurry, hurry. How many more parallels you got? It's like a parallelogram. When Daniel's raised out of the pit, his enemies are put in the pit. I said, when Daniel gets out of the pit, his enemies are put in the pit. Do I really need to expound on this? Because how awesome is it that when Jesus was in the tomb, he wasn't in the tomb. No, he descended. And he descended to the lower parts. And I know there's some theologians that don't like this kind of teaching, but this is in your Bible. He went in there and he stripped the devil. Oh, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the devil still had dominion. How did the devil have to? I know sin reigned from Adam to Moses, and I know the law gave them a way out, but I want to let you know the devil still had dominion. Where'd he get that dominion from? Adam and Eve gave it to him. They had dominion. God gave them dominion. When they sinned, they handed that, oh man, I feel preachy right now. They handed that dominion over to Satan. Well, I want to let you know, on the second day when Jesus is in the tomb, he walked down and he said, oh, hell got an unwelcome guest. And he said, I'm here to take the dominion back. I'm here to take the keys back. Oh, hurry. When Daniel was saved from the pit, it led to praise and worship of God in Babylon. Can I read you the scripture? Daniel 6:25. I want you to watch what goes on here. Just because a guy gets out of the den, Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in. What's all mean? All in the Greek means all. All the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. Watch this. I make a decree that in every, I don't think that word's there by coincidence, but every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. All because Daniel came out of the pit. All because the stone was rolled away and he was alive. All because of that, they begin to worship. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Can I tell you, if every nation was worshiping because Daniel got delivered from the power of the lion, how much more should we worship for the fact that Jesus got up out of the pit and is alive forevermore? How much more? How much more? Oh, man, we're about to turn into a shouting church. Oh. Do we know what happened when he got up? Okay, sermon's closed, right? Sermon's over. Thanks, preacher. That was really nice of you to show us that. What's the point? What's the point of all that? Why would Daniel have to live his life that way to parallel the life of Jesus? That was my question. As I was studying this, AJ, I'm praying and I was like, God, what does this do? What does all of this do? Give me something to preach about? Daniel went through his life, and his life paralleled Jesus. I said, God, what's the application here? How do I apply this to my life? And man, if God ever spoke to me, he spoke to me then. He said, if you follow my principles and you are led by my spirit, your life too will parallel mine. Your life too. There's my sins. There's the whole sermon. There it is. I told you all of that to tell you this. Man, if we walk according to God's principles, we'll start looking like Jesus. We'll start walking like Jesus. We'll start talking like Jesus. Things will happen to us that happened to Jesus. Like what? He said, these works. You're going to do these works. But not only these works, you're going to do greater. Amen. And here's the kicker. Y'all know the kicker? He don't walk beside you. He walks in you. He doesn't walk beside you. He walks in you. So what's my purpose? Man, I just got to do what God says to do. I got to yield my members to him. Because whoever you yield your members to, that's whose servant you are. Who are you yielding your members to? Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to walk like Jesus? Do you want to talk like Jesus? Let me ask you this. Do you want to pray in Gethsemane like Jesus? No, but we want to do miracles like Jesus. Let me make something very clear. We will never have the result of Pentecost unless we have the zeal of Pentecost. I'm not talking about salvation now. I'm talking about being effective. We're going past that. If you're not saved in here, we're going to give you an altar call and you can come to the altar. You need to get that right, because, man, there's a journey for you to get started on. If you've been sitting in here, you've been saved for 30 years, and you ain't got nothing done for the kingdom, it's time to get busy. If you've been in it 5 years, I'm going to tell you, that means it's getting good. Jason, I've been preaching the gospel now for close to 28 years. I know I don't look that old. Did you just, Tracy, give Shane more gifts this Christmas than Brandon. Forget about his birthday and everything. 27 years. And I still haven't got good at it. I don't want to ever get good at it. Because every time I step in the pulpit, Thomas, I don't want to be an eloquent speaker. It's too late in life for that. I still have a hard time saying, Tracy and me and Tracy, you know, and people y'all know I torment poor Miss Medder back there. What I'm saying is this. I may not ever stand between 15,000 to get a sermon, but I say, God, you lead me where you want me to go and say to who you want me to say it to and give me the words to say. Just lead me. Because, man, I'm telling you, Bub, I could be the answer to somebody's prayer. They could be praying, God, send somebody to my son. And when I get there, I want to be that somebody. Johnny, these heathens I work with, they're like, yeah, my mom goes to church and my wife goes to church and this goes to church. And I know they're praying. They're praying, God, send somebody. And I'm that somebody. Oh, Perry, I'm ready. Boy, I knew in church, been in church for years. I've seen him the other night. I hadn't seen him in years. I was like, I'll get him. I'm strategic with it. I'm like, hey, buddy, good to see you, man. How's everything going? How's your wife? How's your kids? Everybody good? Yeah, man, we're good. Heard some of his talk a couple nights before that. I knew he wasn't good. I hope he gets Dropbox and hears this. I'm driving across the top the other night, and he's in a dozer, and I said, you guys from Coal City don't know how to build a road. Hey, preacher. I said, hey, man, you still going to Grassy? He said, man, my wife and kids are going, but to my shame. I said, we'll talk about it later. I'm going to get him. I'm either going to get him convicted or he's going to get out of my way. I'm going to love him. But you know the reason why? Because his wife's saying, God, bring him back. Bring him back. If his wife and kids are going, you know what they're praying for? They're praying for dad to come. And I'm going to lay it on him with anointing, with power. You know, not because of me, because of what I got in me. Do y'all understand that just one conversation between he and I could change his life forever? Do you understand that? Oh, come on, musicians. Do you want your life to parallel Jesus? Do you want your life to point to him? That's what Daniel's whole life was, a pointing to Jesus. He went through a lot more. Time would fail me to tell all of the ways that Daniel's story is like the story of Jesus. Is yours? Are you starting to point people to Jesus? Listen, this world is looking for a sign. They're looking for a sign. The problem is a lot of people in the church are looking for signs. I want to see a sign, Lord. I want to see a sign. Are you born again? There's a sign. Have you walked out of darkness into light? There's a sign. We sang, there is a new name written. And it's, we should have been going crazy up in here. Why is that? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if somebody came up here and we cast a demon out of one of our deacons, that'd have been awesome. I'm kidding. If you cast a demon out of somebody and they're delivered, there's going to be people, thank God they're delivered. And by the way, if you don't think that stuff's still going on today, then you're looking in the wrong directions. I don't know where we got this idea that stuff don't happen anymore. Man, how awesome would it be? A demon come up and you look at it and you say, hey, in the name of Jesus, you got to go. And it leaves. said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Man, that's just the benefit of who you are. He said, rejoice. You want to rejoice. Here's why you ought to rejoice. Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, I thank God that I'm this, and I thank God that I'm that. I thank God my name's wrote down. Let's stand. Darren, I want to be more like Jesus. Man, for the longest time, man, I would look at the preacher, and he was my role model. I wanted to be like him. If you've ever heard Pastor White preach, I can't help it. I looked to him for years and years and years as my role model. That's my spiritual leader. Sound like him sometimes. His daughter came to church one night and heard me preach, and she looked over at Tracy and said, I can't help it. Man, we got to get our eyes off the preachers. We got to get our eyes off the worship leaders. We got to get our eyes off the musicians. Man, pray, I want to be like Jesus. The reason I preach loud is because my pastor preached loud and he was my hero. Man, I don't know that Jesus yelled when he preached. I mean, if he preached to 5,000, I imagine, without a microphone, probably. Man, he could just speak it. He could just speak it without any theatrics, without any, he'd just speak it. Wilt thou be made whole? Jason, I want to be like Jesus. And instead of just preaching at these people, I just want to look at them and say, man, do you want to be made whole? Because, man, I got something with me right now that can make you whole. Man, you need to bring it. You need to bring it. You need to bring it. I'm going to say this right now because God's really put it on my heart. And I know if I keep going over and over and over in my head, I'm going to talk myself out of it. But this year, Jason, I'm telling you so you can hold me accountable because I know you will. This year at the Tucker reunion, I'm going to preach a minute. I'm going to talk to Sister Tucker's kids. You know why? Because I know that lady prayed for the souls of her children. And now she's gone and she hasn't. Her prayers, she's not praying anymore. But I want to be an answer to her prayer because she's got lost kids. You know what I'm going to do? At the family reunion, y'all get ready for this, Tracy. Get ready. Get ready. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Man, if it affects one of their lives, it's worth it. Are you ready? Are you ready to be conformed to the image of his son? Right now, if God's dealing with your heart, I want you to pray right where you're at. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your head as we play? Would you just, if you heard something in this sermon, because, man, I really believe God laid this on my heart today. If you heard something in this sermon, you say, man, I want to look more like you too, Jesus. I want my life to be more like you, Jesus. Man, when I'm in the valley, I want to handle it like you do. God, when I'm on the mountain, I want to handle it like you do. To you men, man, it's time to step up in your home and be the spiritual leader. It's time to pray. When you're on your way to work, pray. When you're at work, pray. When your kids are sick, you look at them and you say, my God's a healer, and you pray. Moms, kids are looking up to you. They see you a lot. They know you struggle more than you know. But man, it's time to start speaking faith in your home. It's time to start speaking deliverance in your home. Don't wait until they're an addict. You know what you want to do right now? Just say, God, I thank you that my children are healthy and they're not addicted. Oh, can God deliver the addict? Yes, he can. Can he save the addict? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And if you're here today and your child's in that spot, it's time for you to start talking faith. It's time for you to say, you know, devil, you may put me in this den And you may roll a stone at the gate. But this I know, the same God that brought me to this place is the same God that'll bring me out of this place. Is he talking to you? Is he talking to you? As they sing, if you need prayer or if you need to pray, here's your time to respond, because one prayer can change your life forever. Before